by summer.
Yeah, especially here in
Yeah.
Alberta.
And you live on a farm, right?
I live on a farm and also in Canmore, where I am actually now.
Oh, nice. So
Yeah,
you guys move back and forth? Is that what you guys?
yeah, yeah,
And
yeah.
most recently, for the listeners, you were in New York.
I was, in July. Yeah, it was very, very hot and humid there. So definitely different in, and it was very, very busy. Although we have had a warm summer here too, but yeah, that heat is so different.
You were born in the Netherlands, am I right?
I was,
When did you and your family come out here to Canada?
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Nice.
I moved with my husband and then 1 year-old son.
Son, nice. And now you guys have obviously two boys, the
Two
adults.
boys.
Teens, right? No, adults, young adults.
My oldest one is 21 and my youngest one is 18 and goes into his second year of engineering in University of Calgary, and he's just moving there today and then coming here in Canmore. So
Oh my goodness. So it's a busy time for the family.
it is,
When you moved here, how did you decide farming was something that you guys were interested in? Was that from back home? Like that?
My husband had a farm.
Okay.
And so I married him and got into the farm too, but I was never really interested in a farm. You know, when we met, I told him I'm never gonna, I will never milk the cows. And he told me I will never be anything else than a farmer. He really loves it. His dad loved it. And now my oldest son is actually never pushed into it because it would be easier to just sell, you know, but he's really interested, has a agricultural diploma and is going to study some more. But yeah, and then we did a trip to Canada in 2000, I believe it was a road trip from Vancouver to Calgary, and it was my husband's secret childhood dream to farm here, and I didn't know. And then we just saw Alberta and, you know, the opportunity here. And that's when we started working with a realtor and everything. And
You know, it's awesome because I've been following you and vice versa for some time, haven't we?
we did.
And just seeing the views, the Alberta skies, that must be such a beauty to wake up to, isn't it? That we're blessed with.
It is. I never really realized it because sometimes you take things for granted, you know, but as I become started living more aware, I really start to appreciate that and be grateful for it. And the nice thing too is you know, when we're in Canmore, we can we're in the center. We can walk everywhere and you hear all the noises. And when we're on a farm, it's so quiet. And my husband loves that. He doesn't like the noise that much, but it's so quiet, you know, at night and you open your window and that's so it's so quiet and so dark. Because in Europe, in the Netherlands, it's always light, you know, it never gets really to that darkness because there's too many people living there. And I think you must see that in Calgary too, that
Oh,
it's,
yes.
because
You
it's a
know,
big city.
I was talking to someone yesterday actually on a podcast on the podcast, and he mentioned going out to the mountains or just being in the outdoors and away from the city, it heightens all your senses. So hearing, taste, smell, everything is just at a higher vibrant or vibrancy and frequency. Have you noticed that?
I so agree. That's kind of why I really wanted to live in Canmore too, is because of the high energy, high vibe. I totally believe that where everything is energy. So,
What does the mountain give you, like that energy? What does the mountains do for you?
Just moving mountains. I guess it just feeling possibility, opportunity. When I'm here, well, it's always also a very touristy place, and there are lots of international tourists again now, thank goodness. I love that, actually. You know, I love that vibe of different people. Yeah, with moving here and being here, so many more things came into my life, you know, opportunities. Yeah, so it that's what it gives me here.
Yeah, you started a coaching program to help others. Where does that come from? How did you get to where you are today? Because that it was never a smooth journey, was it?
No. And I never knew what I wanted, to be honest. I was a law school dropout in the Netherlands, and all my friends had like degrees and knew what they wanted, and I never knew it. And then I got to raise my boys, which I was full time with them, and I'm very thankful for that, because I gave them what they needed, I guess. And then in my 40s, I became ill with Lyme disease, and that was sort of a new beginning. I started to live differently, think for myself, and then I went to school for wellness coaching, personal training, nutrition coaching, all online. In the meantime, I was still healing from my eating disorder too. I mean, we're always healing and, you know, leveling up, I believe, in life, if you're open to it. And so that's what I always had a passion for Instagram. Like, I had, like, lots of people talk negatively about social media, but I loved it. I always knew I wanted to have lots of followers, which sounds maybe very egocentric or something.
Yeah, but that's
but
what
I
you
always
wanted.
Knew,
that's what you.
That's what I wanted, and so I started that, and I did one-on-one coaching, and for me, that was just how my brand True Yeti was born, and then it evolved. You know, I got some, you know, some brands emailing with, oh, you want to get this, and you know, for in return for a post. And I was like, maybe I should, you know, I started to think maybe that's where I need to go. And I think I was in the past more afraid of being that center person or being seen completely.
Were you always wanting to be in the background?
I was always in people's shadows, always in people that were very big personalities. I was always safely in their shadow.
How did you find the courage to say, you know what, I might get judged? And oftentimes we judge ourselves the hardest. We're not easy on ourselves. Mm-hmm. What made you say, I'm putting myself out there? Even doing this podcast, and you've done many before, you know, putting yourself out there, it's not easy. How did you say, I'm okay with doing this? That initial step.
It's a very gradual process. I think for everybody, but we don't always want to see that, you know. We think all of a sudden we see someone is there, and it's been a journey. It was my, I think, my Lyme disease, and realizing that I had to let go of some people. I was always looking for people and friendships, while I was just looking for myself and finding myself. Who am I? And with that came the courage, I think, and a lot of healing. My inner child, or, you know, the little Yeti. It was gradual. And of course, I still sometimes bothers me, or I'm scared of others' judgments. But
we
also
all
have
are.
Very, Yeah, we all are, and it's definitely, it's always learning, and letting go of things and forgiving. I found forgiving people, certain people that I was afraid of being judged by. It just becomes less and less, you know.
For the listeners, I know a few friends of mine that struggle with Lyme disease, but I have a hard time understanding what it is and what does it do to the body? How did that journey begin? And can you recover from Lyme disease?
Well, it began in 2013. I had a bullseye rash, which is a sign that I was bitten by a tick, but I never took out a tick or anything or saw a tick.
So you got it on your arm or something like that?
Yeah, it was on my left breast, kind of. And I
Okay.
was at that time, I was doing Ironman, so I was cycling a lot outdoors. And then I would be covered in like insects. You know, and I would just in a sweat. And so I never thought anything of it. And slowly I started to be getting like bad migraines, not sleeping, digestive issues, fatigued, and all these. I could not run, really run anymore at no endurance. And it was a journey of going to different doctors. And finally in 2017, getting an official diagnosis. I had already been to the Stanford Clinic in San Francisco for chronic fatigue syndrome. So I did treat different things, pain, neck pain. And I just did a lot of treatments, also antibiotics for a long time. And that's how I started. Then one doctor in the US told me, you also have to heal your mind. And that was like, whoa, that was in 2017, no, 2018. And I was like, what does she mean with that? And then I started with meditation, but I couldn't sit still. I was then I started exploring different things and like, what happened to me in my childhood is not maybe normal, or the dysfunctional family I grew up in, it's not normal. You know, I started, that's the advantage of social media too, YouTube. I started watching a lot of leaders, coaches, and I think that is a big part of my healing, that I have done the mental work. And I think it's more a remission, not a complete healing. I just keep doing the things I did, you know, taking supplements, getting vitamin IVs regularly to stay healthy.
What is Lyme disease exactly?
Well, it's been transferred by a tick bite, and you can get certain different infections, and some that really make you really sick. And I did not have all of these different. They have, it's one is like called Babesia, and it's sort of like a malaria. Actually, people get really sick of it. I did not have that one. And you, it just mimics. Then it gets into your body, into your cells, and it just mimics a lot of different diseases, even like MS. People are diagnosed with MS, but it turns out to be Lyme. ALS, even some people like Parkinson, it mimics diseases, and it's so hard to diagnose. And yeah.
That's interesting. And so during this time, did you also realize it's almost like the universe's sign to say, okay, cold hard truth, Yeti, you got to get yourself together. You got to figure out who the hell you are. Unfortunately, yes, Lyme disease came, but oftentimes that thing was the reason you are who you are today, right? If you were on that path, and Lyme disease didn't come, sure, you're going to be doing Iron Man or Iron Woman or all these things in life, but I always think it's you're running. No pun intended. You're trying to find something, you're trying to prove something. You're always trying. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a part of life to push ourselves, push our boundaries. But I also think is we got to do it carefully, very fragile, very gentle with ourselves, don't we?
I was definitely running from things, and it really, I'm now living life being grateful also for people that have treated me bad, kind of, or not with respect, because through all those things, I'm here today, and I'm the person the woman I am now. So I'm also grateful for Lyme disease, and I. Yeah, my health is not always perfect. It definitely damaged my immune system and stuff, and I have pain in my neck sometimes, you know. But I can live with it, and I'm such more aware, better person, and I have my career now. I'm telling my story. I'm having a lot of goals. I'm having, I managed to make a great life, you know, create a great life. I already had a good life, but I didn't realize it. I was just a zombie living through life and doing these hard things like Iron Man. And not realizing I had a trauma as a child, and I had not a good relationship with my parents, but I didn't know why, you know. And now I've learned all these things, and it's just so much better to live like this than before I had Lyme. So I'm grateful for it.
I was listening to someone not long ago, and they're talking about trauma and PTSD and the generational curses, where oftentimes how you felt about your parents is because their parents were like that with them. And now it's up to you or the next generation, your sons, to say, this is enough. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not gonna pass that along to the next generation. So instead of anger, find different ways to speak to your children, or peace and love. You know, it sounds hokey-pokey when I say it like that,
No, I get you. I get you.
but it's a reality, right? If we want to change things, oftentimes it starts at home with ourselves. When you look at your life as a whole, coming to Canada, that, I'll say, young person that came here, a young family, were you lost? Were you excited? Was there also that part of you that said, you know, we got to make new friends? So you started being a yes person instead of saying no to things that were taking away from who Yeti truly was.
Yeah, absolutely. It changed me. Absolutely. Well, in the beginning, I thought it was one big vacation. And then
Of
after
course.
2 weeks,
Send me to
I,
Holland right now.
yeah,
I'll stay
I
there calling
know,
it up.
right? After 2 weeks, I was like, this is real. I'm really here. Now I have to make new friends. And that really made me, I was a people pleaser, but I think it made me even. It made me a big people pleaser,
Well,
and
acceptance, right?
I wanted to be accepted, and I wanted to have friends, and it was, looking back, it certainly wasn't easy, and definitely attracted some of the wrong people, also amazing people, but in the end, I'm really grateful I did it. We did it, because it really is the American dream, the Canadian dream. I feel that I couldn't have been this person that I am here now, what when I would live in the Netherlands with all my societal rules, my family rules. Everything would keep me almost in prison, I think. I would not, I feel so free now. I don't think that would be possible.
True North, free and brave, right? When
Yeah.
you look back at your upbringing and your childhood, have you made peace with it now, or as best as possible?
I have. I definitely have forgiven things that have happened, and I feel that you kind of have some core wounds that
Oh, for sure.
Happens, and those core wounds are not so deep anymore. They do sometimes serves or triggers me, you know, like everybody gets triggered, but I always look at it like, or I didn't react well, or, and that doesn't sit good with me. So I'm going to look in it, and then there's a core wound, but it's just not, it, I recover quicker, you know. It's just a matter of, I recognize it, and then.
Like you're not bathing in the pain and the sorrow.
I'm not bathing in the pain. No,
no, no,
not anymore. No.
You know, it's crazy. Is like, that's the other thing, is switching your mindset. Okay, you know, we can start chasing inner peace, wanting inner peace, but you might be walking to the grocery store, inside the grocery store, and somebody's doing something weird, and or cuts you off, or takes something, and it upsets you. But how do you just, I don't know, also let things go, right? So there's this part of inner peace, but not to the point where, oh, now she's vulnerable, and she's able to take, people can take advantage of you because now she's softer, she's nicer, she's not who she used to be. She's a new type of warrior. How do you still have that core strength to say, no, you're not going to push me to that boundary anymore. I'm done.
Yeah, that's hard.
It is. It's so is, because you want to chase light. Yeah, yeah, you want to chase inner peace, higher frequency, great vibes. But then you'll get the shitty people, right, out there that are going to try and tear you down. Intentionally or not. They might say, well, why is she living like that?
Right? Yeah, I look at it
must
as
be nice.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You probably have got that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm lucky.
How about
the
this?
Time.
What do you have to complain about?
Yeah. Yeah.
But people don't realize it's not about what you have. It's it's everything else, right? We know people like that. I mean, you know that too. It's like people that will have the fanciest things, but yet are the most miserable or the most depressed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that definitely is work, you know, to be not bothered by it, because I thought, if I cut people out of my life, I never have to see them anymore, and everything is fine. But no, sometimes they do come on your path again, and that's testing. And then I have to learn, okay, how can I deal with people like that, or like narcissists, you know, like, and then it comes down to forgiving. And then it doesn't take up space anymore. And you're not bothered. It's a process of getting, to the inner peace, and not being bothered by people that are jealous. Because we know it's their issue and they're not happy with their life, but it still sometimes hurts, right? Or because,
like, you see people on Twitter or on Facebook comments on certain things, and I'm thinking, they're fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Why give anything energy? It's not. Does that make you a better person? Does that serve you if that person was right or wrong? Or, you know, just let things go. And
I know.
Yeah, isn't that true though, right? When you see those things, yeah.
Oh yeah, and then when you do those things, you really get sucked in and into drama, and I used to be in drama too, you know, like drama. Actually, it was like it's like an addiction almost, you know. To, I think for those people too, to be in that negative, that drama and comment, and you should just not even bother, just keep scrolling and move on. Indeed,
it won't affect your life.
No.
When you look back at things you've dealt with, such as bulimia, for the listeners, what is that, Yeti?
Well, it's an eating disorder that you binge eat, usually caused by starving, and then you purge it out somehow. And
and oftentimes, is that vomiting?
Vomiting, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I did that from my 18th till my 40th, actually 2 weeks before my last Ironman in 2012 was my last episode. And it was because I was training so hard. I was, you know, really tired and not eating enough. And then binging and then getting rid of it because I was afraid to gain weight.
Eat, you'd binge and then get rid of it. So you'd eat and then you'd go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you'd vomit. Oh my goodness, for that long of a period. Wow.
Yeah, it was not constant. You know, I had times that, of course, when I moved to Canada, immigrating was a stressful time. Yeah. It would come back and then I would be free for a while, or I always knew it was something weird that it was normal, but I did not know what to do with it. And of course, it was rooted in childhood too.
Did you talk to people about that?
No, right. Only to my husband in my 20s. Yeah. And he, of course, didn't know what to do about it. But it actually started at like 7 or 8 that I found comfort in food and eating lots of food. And safety, I guess, is what it gave to me.
And then as you got older, bulimia, the reason, well, there's many reasons, but a lot of it is from trauma, isn't it?
Right? Yeah.
When you look at the deep roots of why this happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you would do that, was it also about body image or how you felt about yourself? Is that primarily what it was?
Yeah. Also, yeah. Because I'm the youngest of 5th child, and my oldest brother was 20 years older, and I was not. I was an accident, an oopsie baby. Yeah. So that was already number one thing. You know, I was not a wanted child or, and then my older sisters always talked about their body issues. So I believed when I was 7, I believed that I was big. And when I look at a picture, I'm totally looking normal. But that was already in my head. And, you know, no matter how skinny I got in periods, because I would kind of yo-yo, and I have some pictures that I look really skinny, but I would not see it in my head. First of all, I would never be happy, but I would still have that image of being bigger in my head. So definitely body image was really at the root of it, and it's still something I struggle with some days. Yeah,
I mean, we're all human, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all want to look our best, feel our best, right? Move in the best ways, especially someone that like yourself that was doing Ironman and has been so active for a long time. I'm sure, you know, you start seeing things and saying, "Well, what's going on here?" Right?
Mm-hmm.
How did you cold turkey it, where you said, "I'm done"?
Yeah, before my Ironman, yes. And I then confided in my training coach, my triathlon coach, who was a little bit at the root of the problem too, because I had already been kind of recovered for a few years. And then he told me to eat a paleo diet in zone blocks. I don't know if you ever heard of the zone diet, but it's like a certain amount of protein, fat, and it was literally nothing that I could eat. Somebody counted it later for me, and it was like 1,700 calories on a train. I eat way more now, and I'm not doing half the activity. And it's literally nothing. And then that's why I started binge eating and eating foods. I wanted foods that were not paleo. And that's why I eat now everything that is good or bad, you know, because, but he caused, kind of, made me go back in that spiral. That was when I went cold turkey, but I actually still binged for 10 years, not constantly, but I would count my calories
Right.
always until this year I let completely go of it. And there's nothing wrong if you count calories. For some people, it's an amazing tool, but for me, it's the opposite. And I need to allow myself a bagel, because at some point I would not eat any processed foods, but I would binge on it. So now I believe more in balance, and I learned to trust my body, listen to its hunger cues. Okay, now you're full, or do I want, and it was scary to let that go, but I'm not binging anymore. And sometimes I eat too much, yeah, but it's not a binge anymore. And the self-talk comes back then, oh, I've been bad, but yeah.
Oftentimes we have to realize we only do this one time, one life, right? When you look at yourself, I don't know, on your deathbed, what do you want to say? Do you want to say, "Oh, I didn't eat that bagel," or "I struggle"? You're not going to think about those things. You have to almost just empty whatever you want to do here, find what you are. But putting in that work, that initial step, that self-awareness piece, that's tough. I wish more people took time. I always say there was a silver lining in the pandemic. To go within yourself to say, "Who am I? That was a great time. What do I want in my life?" I know some people that just went back to the norm. Oh yeah, and were complaining the whole time. Of course, everyone was upset. We didn't want any of that stuff. But you know what? In that time, you can also see who you are, look at yourself in the mirror, and decipher. What do I like? Am I in the right direction? Am I in the right career? And some did change their career paths, right? They said, "No, this is not serving me anymore." We're seeing people saying now, "I'll take a lower salary because inner peace matters now, and this work-life balance matters." Because that's another thing. We always thought work, work, work is important. Being busy is cool. But finding the parts of yourself to say, "Nope, I'm not doing anything." And that's okay to not do anything. We always have to make that excuse to say, "Hey, want to get together?" "No, sorry, I'm just busy." Even though you just want to hang out at home. Now I just say, "No, I'm staying home." Right? Damn. When you look at your self-awareness and the things that you're learning along the way, you start a True Yeti. What exactly is that, and how has it helped individuals out there?
True Yeti is my social media handle, my brand, my baby, because my name Yeti Nunes, it's too hard for people to Google. So, and Yeti speaks her truth, so True Yeti. And I've always loved fa fashion, beauty, makeup. I always thought it was swallow as how do you say? Sorry, I can't find the. All my friends with degrees, and I love makeup and all that stuff. Shallow, shallow. And then I literally said, like, fuck it. I'm gonna do what I want to do, and that is fashion. I love a certain style of clothing. It's usually expensive, which I felt guilty of too.
But there's an art, there's a craft, there's a
Right,
deeper thing
it's
to it all, right?
exclusive, yeah, and so I combined all those things, and I wanted to share my story. Not that I woke up, hey, I want to share my story, but I started doing things my way and started thinking for myself instead of what society tells you or other institutions, teachers, schools, whatever. Of course, I followed the law. You have to follow, but other than that,
When you look at brands, what brands have inspired you in terms of fashion?
I love the Row. Those are the Olsen twins, actually. I love their minimalist style. I love, yeah, Chanel, Dior, all things that are, yeah, exclusive and that have put work in it, right? That you cannot see everybody in.
Well, it's funny when you look at like the stories behind those individuals too. It just blows your mind to see how, like, Coco Chanel's story is remarkable, and how she would, I think she used to wait up on the staircases and watch her shows from above. And back in the day, I think they did military attire for individuals, the pants. So, it's really cool to see where brands go today. In terms of the exclusivity, what is it about that for people or brands and people that connect it, where we think, oh my God, there's only five of these available, we must have it? Isn't that a thing?
Oh yeah, that definitely is a thing. And I also think for me, at some period in my life, it was more my ego. I had a different reason of wanting it. I wanted to be respected, seen, whereas to now it's and that was also almost an addiction, of buying as much designer as possible. And
I gotta get into
now
that farm life.
it's hard work, I tell you. We have nothing to complain, but
I know.
it's constantly ongoing hard work. And that's challenging, and finding peace and saying, hey, I'm doing nothing. Because that husband of mine, he always goes. And farm life, you have something at 9 at night, and you have to do it. You have to be there.
Have you had to help him out?
And not really, because then we in the beginning I did a couple times, like emergencies, and we would always end up in a fight because I'm not good with and cows,
It's
So I'm
funny.
like, we're like, okay, if we want to stay married, we better not work
I
together.
love it. That's why I'm in Canmore. When you're done, you come here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. When you now look at brands, so have you switched your mindset of what exclusivity is and how it me what it means to you today?
Yeah, I definitely am more low key than I was before. I don't get that rush of every season I want a few things, and
Is it usually handbags?
no, I'm not into that. No, usually that's one a year or every 2 years. I wear the same thing. I'm very, and it needs to be comfortable too. And I need to have the same things. I don't want to every day change my wallet in a different. No, it needs to be comfortable.
That's another thing, thick skin,
Yeah,
isn't it?
yeah, yeah.
To get the lashes, to get hit, but it's ourselves hitting ourselves in a way, mentally, of course, but
Yeah.
we'll put ourselves down. How do you take that negative thought? Oh, Yeti, people are gonna judge. How do you take that thought and say, fuck it? Fuck what people think. It's hard.
Well, yeah, that was a lot of work, but I also have to thank my husband, who is very supportive, and
He
he
seems like
always
a
is like,
very great guy for all this.
oh well, he's he is, yeah, he's for me, it was just a very good person that came on my path, and but he's always like, I don't care what so and so thinks, because they think something, and oh, he always says, they talk about you no matter what you do. If you do A, they'll talk this, and if you do B, they'll talk that. So you never can please anybody. And I think he found the freedom here in Canada too. And I mean, we've been through some things, yeah, with people, and
Hey, you really
yeah,
can't please anybody. It's
no, you can't. So you have to please yourself and convince yourself of that, yeah.
How do you guys, you after so many years of marriage, is keep a chemistry and a spark alive? How does It's beautiful to see that.
Thank you. Well, I also want to say that I don't have butterflies anymore, because people believe that they have to run on butterflies all the time, and then when it disappears, then oh, it's time to look for somebody else. That's, I think we have that wrong. The Walt Disney fairy tale. No, marriage is, I mean, he's my best friend. friend. Like we talk, I phone him when I'm here. We phone each other like 10 times a day. I tell him everything. Like it's just my best friend. And yeah, there still is chemistry and we laugh. And I think also being apart a little bit and having, we're each other's opposite. Like people have probably thought like, how does a fashionista live with a farmer? And well, they got it wrong because it works perfect. We respect each other. And I think, yeah, being different personalities, not doing everything together is what makes magic for us. And yeah, having our own life and even some own friends, you know?
That's true, because oftentimes we think, oh, we need, you know, the person I'm with has to like what I do and has to, we all need the same friends. We all need the same interests. I think the yin to the yang is better.
I think so too. You know, I used to be jealous, or not jealous, envious of people that, you know, were doing triathlons together. They were racing together. I was like, whoa, that's amazing.
And here's hubby like going like this. I'm just kidding.
My hubby was, well, no, he was on the sidelines supporting me with the little children. Aww. So I did not realize that. But, you know, he traveled with me to Arizona to cheer me on.
Aww, that's
Spain
amazing.
We
okay.
went. So, you know, I didn't realize that. But I thought we had to do all these things mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. But those people are not together anymore. And we are. Mm-hmm. And I think also being together and, you know, bonded us really, that we move together and literally have no family but just us is really
You guys are the family. You guys know
we are. Yeah,
this is the core. This is us.
This is us. Yeah, absolutely.
When you know as we get older or people are in long-term relationships, they say is like the physical attraction or the physical chemistry within couples fades as we move through life. How are you able to say, okay, well, I don't have butterflies. We get along. We love each other. He's my best friend. But we can still make time for affection. Because that, I was reading something the other day. 40% of married couples stop intimacy in terms of whether it's hugging, kissing, whatever it is. But they just stop. They're just not interested anymore. Because, you know, I guess you've seen each other, gone through life together, ups, downs, anger, financial problems. And then now you're just like, I don't like that person. Or you see a better looking gal or a guy, and that's so much easier. But that's not ever easy, is it?
No. And I mean, it's definitely not, you know, three times a day anymore. You know, like it just is different. But you make the choice. Yeah. And I think also for us is being both our best personalities, like not letting ourselves go, you know, and being interested in each other. And yeah, I think that makes it easier for the physical part too. Like,
'cause that's, you guys are each other's, it sounds, well, it's not weird to say this, it's like soulmates. It's like,
yeah.
Before we get going here, Yeti, when you came out there with your story, that's a vulnerable thing to do. That's a very, I don't know, like trembling thing to do where it's scary. That's, I mean, the ultimate. But there is a freedom in putting yourself out there because you've emptied yourself. There's nothing for people to attack you on or hate you on or what. Okay, that's my story. You know, I sucked at this. I was good at this and made mistakes along the way. Are you going to beat me up for it still or are you going to move on? Right? How did you get out there in a gentle, fragile manner?
Yeah, of course, that was a journey too that I made mistakes in probably. That you say things that trigger other people too much, but I really try to be, I'm more aware of that, you know, what how do I say it in a way that is inspiring to people? And yeah, indeed, nobody can really do anything bad anymore to me, because it's all out there. It's all out there. You cannot say anything bad, or because I've said it about
Isn't
myself.
Isn't that something that's liberating and free?
It's very liberating.
Oh my God.
And
you're holding on to this. There's this cage you're in, but now it's like, I'm flying. You can fly.
Yeah. 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 And not everybody likes that. That's true.
Fuck them. Seriously.
Fuck them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
No, that's amazing. Well, it's true, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't please everybody. Even on Instagram, sometimes things will, oh, well, he posted this. I just don't like it. Okay. Thanks. I don't know you.
Yeah.
What am I going to say? You interviewed this person. I didn't like that. Okay. I don't care what you like or not. I'm not doing this for you.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Now, for me now, it's like block people when they have nothing better to say than that. It's just block, delete. I cannot put up with that.
No.
You know?
Or someone that just drains your energy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you realized, though, it's like once you start becoming self-aware and all these things, we only have so much energy, but back then we were pushing ourselves.
Yeah. No, like that's true.
Horses just running.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
now I think about it, now that I'm self-aware, I have no energy. You think you'd have more energy, but you only have energy for certain things, certain people, and very little of it. So it makes time precious, it makes things meaningful. I don't want shitty conversations. I don't want how's the weather doing conversations, you know.
No.
It's like it's got to be real, you know, life. Well, not always, but life's got to have some substance, right? Or the people in your life.
No, I totally agree. And usually when I'm on social media and I start to feel I don't know, I just start to feel, okay, it's enough. I've done enough for today. I love watching Netflix.
Well, thank you for today. If people want to follow you on social media or work with you, how can they do so?
They can follow me on Instagram, True Yetty, TRUJETTY. I have my own website too, that has a contact form too. Mm-hmm. And I'm on LinkedIn if you want to connect with me. So multiple ways to find me.